bring greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus, and a welcome to each one here. Glad to have you visitors here with us. The group would be quite small if you wouldn't be here, but there would still be more than two or three, so yeah, welcome. George texted me this morning and said that they're not feeling well, so they came back from Ohio, and I guess there was some sickness up there and might have brought it back home with them, so they decided not to spread it around here. Kevin's are in Squaw Valley, California this morning, so I'm here by myself as far as ministers. Unless some of you visitors are ministers, I don't know. announcements. Offering this morning was 8294. Thank you for that. No services Wednesday night. As far as service tonight, we are open to having services if, I guess it's up to you. I don't know how many are going to be here. Maybe we should just raise a hand. Who all wants to have services tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, you want to cancel? All right, well, it looks about like it's half and half, so we'll plan on services tonight. Dan, you have anything that you want to share on that? Okay. And there would probably be instruction class, and we'd only take one lesson tonight, starting at 6. Of the fathers, could I have a volunteer to teach that lesson tonight? Any volunteers? Titus, thank you. All right. Appreciate that. It would be, some of the boys thought it would be identifying Satan and his tactics. Is that right? Page 42. All right, anything else before we pause for a word of prayer? Any other announcements? All right, why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are God, that you are the giver of life. Father, we thank you that we can safely trust in you. You are completely and totally trustworthy. Your word is true. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be here ministering to the needs of my heart, needs of everyone here, that we might be able to receive what you have for us and to grow in our Christian life, our walk of life with you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we look back over our life and if we look forward into the future, that we would trust you and to allow you to have your will and way in our lives. Be with us now this morning and bless us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the time of the year that a lot of times we think of last, as far as business life, we think of inventory, we think of trying to get everything wrapped up for the year, and get ready for tax time. Not always a nice time, but it's a necessary time. And I know it's not good to wait until the end of the year to look at your life, and I'm talking business life, as far as to see, are we making progress? And neither is it good that we wait till the end of the year, reflect back into the past year, and see how are we doing in our Christian life. We need to do that constantly, day by day. But it is a special time, I think, to just simply stop and see what has happened and what is happening in our life. The title, I didn't know what to make the title, to give the title, but I thought of reflecting on our life and going forward. Turn to Psalm 25. You know, and as we come to the end of 2025, and we take inventory of our life, the past year, did we gain spiritual ground or did we lose? Did we gain spiritual ground in the areas that we struggled, that we even confessed that we're struggling? Or are we still slogging on in defeat and misery and despair? You know, as I thought of some of the conversations that I've had with you, brother, and you had with, with the brethren, even publicly, there was, I remember numerous times there was some struggles mentioned. Lack of faith was one. A desire for a closer connection and walk with Jesus Christ. A desire to have power to overcome sin. These were some of the things that I was hearing. A desire to overcome the cycle of victory and defeat. Victory and defeat. Just, you know, this thing of going up and down. We want to get over that. We want to experience victory. Feelings of depression. Feelings of fear and lack of trust. You know, being uninspired and slow to share our thoughts. Feelings of anger and bitterness. Critical spirit. As we think of all these, have we made progress in our life this morning? Or is it still something? I mean, I know that we will struggle with this. I realize that. But can we? Has it been a growth experience? Or is it still just this up and down, just this maybe down, down, you know, sometimes we just lose ground completely. How do we find it in our life? Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions Remember not the sins of my youth, nor the transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Going back and starting at the verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies have triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on me be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. You know, I find it in my own heart that the things I struggle with in my past are still things that tend to crop up. They want to pop up and give me trouble. Yet I know there's victory in Jesus Christ. And I have experienced victory in the overcoming power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I can honestly say that. And yet these things still want to come up. They still want to, like I said, pop up and give me trouble. So what is the answer to this dilemma of we want victory and yet we just seemingly cannot get there? We prayed this morning that verse 7, the words of David, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. That was David's prayer this morning to the Lord. And he said, don't remember those sins. But in order for God not to remember, there needs to be a repentance. So number one, we need to repent from our sins. We need to recognize that repentance from sin is step number one. It's kind of the bottom basic foundation. We need to recognize that we are sinners, yes, but then we need to repent. Repent from your sins. Acts 3:19 says, and this was, well, let's turn to that. I think it was Peter speaking. Acts 3:19. Yes, I think it was Peter speaking. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So repent therefore. Repent therefore. If we go back to 2 Samuel, and I would like to turn to that as well, 2 Samuel chapter 24. If we read from 10, read through 10, from 10 to 17 for now. Verse 10. David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech you, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thy enemies, while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto the Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even unto the time appointed, and there died of the people from David, Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough, stay now thy hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor place of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, "Lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." We'll cease reading there for a little bit. Now, David's problem here was that it says he numbered the people. And Joab, his officer, the captain of the host, tried to get him not to do this. Now, if you go back to chapter 23, we read of 37 men of David in his army that were men of renown. They were extremely brave, talented men with the sword, with the spear, very brave men. And it says that there was one that he killed 800 men by himself. There was another one, he fought so long that his hand clave to the spear, I think it says. Can't lay my eyes on that. But they had to almost pry his hand loose. I am having a hard time laying my eyes on that. It's in for chapter 23. Sorry? 10. Yeah, that was the second one. There's another one. Oh, in verse 8. He lifted up his spear against 800 men whom he slew at one time. This was one man slaying 800 men. Verse 10, it says his hand clave to the sword until his hand was weary. You know, it's almost like he clutched the sword until they couldn't, they almost had to pry it loose, sounds like it. And then the next one, verse 12, he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. So these three men, they were kind of, it says that they were, later it mentions that, mentions Uriah the Hittite. He mentions those three men that went. Remember the story of David saying that he would like, if he could only have a glass of water from the well at Bethlehem? Well, three men went and got it. Three of these 37 men. And they brought it back, and the Philistines were in Jerusalem around Bethlehem, and they went through the army of the Philistine and got a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, brought it back to David, and David poured it out unto the Lord. Verse 17, it says, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. It mentions Abishai, but a couple of times it says, but these were not of the three. Those three men were mentioned first. But later it says 37 men in all, verse 39. And it just seems like David was really trusting in these his military might. It seems like it. And he said, well, he wanted to know how many men is in his army. And Joab told him, don't go there. Don't count your people. The Lord is able to take care of you. And yet David said, go. And they did, and they came back with a number of 1.3 million men between Judah and Israel. Verse 9, it says of Israel, it was 800,000 men, and the men of Judah, there was 500. So 1.3 million men. And as soon as David heard that, his heart was smote. He was guilty. He knew he did something wrong. And the Lord came to him and said, you have done wrong. Now choose what your punishment. So point number one is repent. Point number two is commit yourself and your past failures into the hand of God. That's the thought I'd want here. Commit yourself and your past failures into the hand of God. You know, we cannot do anything to change our past. Just this week I saw a quote. One of your brothers had it on your, posted it. And it said, there's not a man in the world that has enough money to buy his past. You remember that quote? There is no money, enough money in the world to buy your past that you can bring it back and redo it. I kind of got ahead of myself there. But commit yourself and your past failures to God. When the Lord came through Gad, came to David and said, choose one of these three things. It was a famine for 7 years. It was fleeing 3 months from his enemies. And the third one was 3 days pestilence or sickness. And the response of David was in verse 14. He said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. There is no hands that are more merciful than the Lord Jesus' hands. None. When we repent of our sins and we commit it to the Lord, the hand of the Lord will take care of that. No man is rich enough to buy back his past. This is so true. There is nothing we can do to change or replace our past. Our past is done. And yet, we don't need to buy it back. We don't need to change it. Do you believe that? Do you need to change your past? Anyone? Can you change your past? No. Do you need to change your past? No, you don't. But you need to get to repent of your past sins, and you need to commit it to the Lord and to put it into his hands, and he will take care of it. Is that right? So we don't need to change our past. We need to repent, yes. We need to commit it to the Lord, yes. But we cannot change our past. What is done is done. We don't need to, sit here and just fret and fret and fret because of what we did back then. God has said that he will take our sins and cast it as far as the east is from the west if we commit it to him. That's the promise that we have. Jesus Christ paid that price for our past. He paid the price for our past. He paid for the price of our present and the future when he died on the cross and rose again. So commit our past failures into the hand of the Lord, understanding that his hands are the most merciful hands that we can ever commit our past to or anything to. Number three, be willing to take responsibility for your words and actions. Verse 17. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. You know, when David saw the Lord, he recognized that what was happening was his fault. And he said, Lord, I have sinned. These sheep, he called the people his sheep. He said, they didn't do anything. They weren't involved in this. Why are they suffering? But he was willing to take responsibility for his own words and actions. He didn't want others to suffer and pay for his own mistakes and failures. Now let's read verse 18 through 25. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And he went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good to him. Behold, here is the oxen for the burnt sacrifice, the threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arunah as a king given to the king. I'm having a problem with this word. I think it's Arunah. Said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. David did not want others to suffer and pay for his own mistakes and failures. He took responsibility upon himself. The Lord gave David direction on what to do, and David went to the threshing floor of Arunah. And this man offered his whole business to David, to the Lord, at no cost to David. But David, King David, refused. And he said he will not offer anything to the Lord that doesn't cost him anything. In other words, he wanted to pay to the Lord. He couldn't pay for his sins. No, I don't think that's what he wanted to do. But he wanted something out of his own heart to give to the Lord. So be willing to take responsibility. Now look forward. You know, we can, again, tonight, this morning, we can sit here and we can talk about all our past failures, all our past sins. We can just bemoan the fact that we did this and this and this. Just yesterday, I was talking to a brother, and we were talking about church issues, and I just mentioned that I just wish I would have done something different back in the day. I'm not going to mention any names or places because, yeah. And he said, well, you know, we got to live and learn. And that's the advice that I would like to give you is to live and learn, especially learn. You know, when we live, we will make mistakes. We will, because we're human. And yet we don't have to dwell and just dwell on that past and just be buried in despair because we did this. No, the Lord is offering us victory to go on. He's offering us a fresh day to go on. Look forward. Quit looking back. Jesus said, no man looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In Luke 9:62, no man having put his plow to the hand, or his hand to the plow, looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed her wallowing in the mire. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Have you ever tried making progress looking back continually? You know, I've noticed when we drive down the road, and a new driver is very susceptible to this. When he turns his head, his hand turns with the way he's looking. You ever notice that? I mean, it's hard enough the older you get, but a young driver really, really does that. When you look this way, your hand turns and the steering wheel goes that way. It is impossible to go forward looking back. We can't do that. We will never make any progress looking back and just looking back and bemoaning our past. We got to look forward, looking unto Jesus. We need to move towards God and His truth, not looking back at our own mistakes. Yes, we need to repent and get our past under the blood of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. We need to allow God to give us grace and power to overcome. But again, we can't just continually look back and expect to make progress in Christian life. We have to look forward. So quit looking back. Look unto Jesus. Which brings me to the fifth point, is looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And then the last one, and I was reminded of this in the devotional. Thank you, Vernon, for this. Resting in his forgiveness and grace. Resting. which includes trusting God that he will do what he said he will do. So we need to repent. We need to commit ourselves to God and our past to God. We need to be willing to take responsibility, and we need to look forward, and we need to look to Jesus, and then finally rest in his promises. You know, it's as we look at our, you know, we could all probably just despair looking at our past. The past failures, the past sins, the things that we did, the things we said. And we can't undo that. But, you know, if we just dwell on that, it just destroys our whole life. And yet, if we let that with God, that God can take that away, we can go on and be victorious this morning. That is all I have this morning. I would like to, after prayer, just open it up. And I would like to hear your testimony of how you have been able to overcome, how you have been able to make progress in life. And, or if you want to make a confession, that's fine too. But how has the Lord blessed you this year? And what are you looking forward to in the next year? How is the Lord going to be able to bring you through not only this year, but keep you going next year? So let's kneel for prayer.